Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, have you ever thought about how you'll handle things when Wingtip Sloat gets inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
What things do you mean, Jim?
You know, the Brad factor. Okay, Patrick, we like to do the patron episodes from time to time, and often we call people because they live in various parts of the USA and maybe beyond. I don't know if the patrons are beyond, but many listeners are. But from time to time, we can do a patron episode where we have somebody here.
That's the best.
In studio.
Love it.
Here at Suburbs HQ. And that's today, right?
Yes.
That's happening today. Mm-hmm. So we have with us our friend Mike Snyder. Hello, Mike.
Hello. For better or worse, I'm here in person.
Great to see you, man.
Well, it's always fun to be here, and it's fun to talk music.
Yep. And so, real quickly, this is Rockin' the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And then we also have another special guest here
in the basement.
Brad Mailer. Hello, Brad.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Brad. Good to see you.
Brad, you know, lives in the area and just, you know.
It's very nice.
Stop by, right? Yeah. He wanted to see the dog.
That's what it was.
Yes,
that's what it
Shadow. Was. Shadow's my new best friend.
So before we get into the topic, which Mike is going to pick and tell us about, let me just explain how the patron episodes thing works, which is that people can go to Patreon, patreon.com/suburbspod and contribute to the show financially,
right.
And we use that money to reinvest
in the show. Exactly right.
So it's used on a whole bunch of things like a broken SD card. We needed a new SD
that's
card.
Right.
You know, things like that. But and some other bigger ticket items like web hosting.
Things like that. Little something for the interns for all their hard
that's
work.
That's right.
We gave each a shiny new 50-cent piece. So that was very nice.
Right. So we take that money, we reinvest in the show, and we so appreciate the people who contribute. And we like to reward them. And one of the rewards we give, if you're at a certain level, is you get to come on the show every 3 months and pick the topic. I think that's the key.
That's the key.
Too. You have total control over this. And this is, it's like maybe this is a topic I wouldn't have really wanted to discuss. But now I'm into it because of Mike Snyder here. So with all of that, hello, Mike.
Good morning.
And what is the topic we are going to discuss today?
Well, it's kind of timely, and I didn't know what I wanted to talk about because it's almost like with our end of the year and end of the decade stuff, my brain has been rebooted or something. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame voting was going on, and I thought, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame could be very divisive. I don't really have a take on it. I love when these artists get recognized, and I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, so it's a topic that's always a talker, and the inductees this year, I'm sure people have opinions about.
Right. So let me explain timing here for a second. As we are recording this, I think the nominees had all been announced for a while, and I think the fan voting portion of it ended like yesterday
Yesterday or today, something like that.
By the time this episode posts, we probably will already know the results of that.
Oh,
and
cool.
And probably we'll even know who of the nominees will be the inductees.
I think you're right.
So just bear with us, listeners. We're going to talk about all the nominees, not knowing yet who got chosen.
Yep.
All right?
There's 16 nominees, and they usually induct 5 to 7.
Oh, so there's no set number that
there's
go
no
in
set
each year.
Number.
Okay.
It's just whoever gave them the most money usually.
Ah.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
No. Well, but I think
maybe
there is some money involved somewhere.
But to be a bit of a cynic here, and I think you have to be a bit with any kind of like Hall of Fame, any kind of thing, you know, honoring kind of program, they have to put on a good show too.
Right.
So you have to think that there's a calculation there in terms of who gets inducted each year, in terms of who's able to perform and put on something. But anyway, that's why you get some current nominees in the mix, right?
The ceremony becomes a show eventually.
Well, I mean, you
HBO
think about it. Some of the best performances you may have ever seen. I mean, when Prince passed away, that clip of him playing "While My Guitar Gently Weeps" was a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance for George Harrison, who was inducted after he died. Right.
And that's the stuff I like about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I like moments like that. That's pretty cool. Some of the induction speeches, you know, are really heartfelt and really great. And then the museum, as you mentioned, I've been there once in Cleveland. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love that, all that. The arguing on who should get in and who should get out, I don't know. I'll leave that to other people, but I guess today it's partly left to me. So how do we want to do this? We want to go through the list of nominees and just discuss them ourselves. We also, you know, got some listener thoughts from social media. We can do that a little bit later. Is that what you want to do? Or
I'm with whatever you guys want to do. I mean, I think anybody who's listening probably knows the nominees, but I can list them off for you real quick if you want. Or Patrick, I see the list right there.
Yeah, I'll read it off really quick. Okay. So we got Pat Benatar, Dave Matthews Band, Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Judas Priest, Kraftwerk, MC5, Motorhead, hard to believe they're not already in the Hall of Fame, Nine Inch Nails, the Notorious B.I.G., Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, Todd Rundgren, Soundgarden, T-Rex, and Thin Lizzy.
So maybe what we should do is just each of us, who stands out on that list do you think, you know, automatically should get in? I get a sense you think Motorhead.
Definitely Motorhead, and also I think Thin Lizzy, it's hard to believe they're not in, but as we've discussed here... MC5 would be the other one.
Yeah, and based on influence, I mean those bands. Plus, I think Kraftwerk was very influential.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Todd Rundgren, T-Rex, and then when you start getting to the question of what is rock and roll, I mean, I think Notorious B.I.G. was definitely influential. I mean, the barometers I think that are taken into account here are influence and sales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those all have influential flags for them. I think. I mean, when you get to sales.
Whitney Houston definitely checks that box.
Yeah, Whitney, Dave Matthews Band, Doobie Brothers, Pat Benatar. Actually, some will argue Pat Benatar was influential, too, in that she was one of the first real women, strong front persons of a rock band. She was the first woman played on MTV, if I remember right.
So, yeah.
And then...
It was the second video, right? The second video ever on MTV was a Pat Benatar video.
Yeah. Nine Inch Nails could be argued for both, I think, and so could Soundgarden.
Yep.
Yeah.
The I have is Judas Priest at this point, but I've seen him. I like him. I think you can argue any of these artists are deserving in some fashion.
If I were going to look at this list and pick three that I think just no brainers to me, I would say T-Rex, Kraftwerk, and then probably. I guess MC5. I think those would probably be the top three I would just put in right off the bat. And then I think, and then probably after that would be, for me, Motorhead. And the Todd Rundgren one is an interesting one because I think the criteria here is they consider them as a performer, like as a recording artist and performer, not as a producer, right?
Yeah.
And I think his influence is much greater as a producer even than as a...
Yeah, it's tremendous.
As a recording artist,
behind
right?
the board, yeah, totally. Totally.
So that's why I would, when Todd Rundgren jumps out at me, but I think of like his total body of work. Would it be the same thing if you had like a Brian Eno?
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly.
On that's the list a great or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. And is it possible to take some of the people that are in out and put some other people in because that might open up a few slots? Not saying anything about that hoodie Mike's wearing, but
now come on, they were influential and they're very deserving.
In fact,
you could argue if you go on sales, there's a potential Phil Collins could be inducted on his own down the road.
It may happen. It may happen. I personally sold about 100,000 of them No Jacket Required albums when I was working at the record shop, so it was really popular then.
Well, Jim, you mentioned something earlier about the idea of the show, because the show ends up it's a big ticket event, and it's a big thing on HBO, and then they sell Blu-rays and DVDs and stuff like that afterwards. Who might they be thinking of if they want to put on a good show?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would think the Doobie Brothers are going on tour this year with a reunion with Michael McDonald. That would possibly make sense.
Yeah.
Pat Benatar continues to tour.
Yeah.
He's on great shows.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Dave Matthews Band... it's tours regularly. So those are three you could consider if you're thinking about a show.
That's right. Yeah. One thing I'll mention.
The ones I mentioned are all,
well, that's part of it.
Mark Bolan's no longer with us, right? Things like that. But
one real quick thing that I think is interesting before we get to all of our listener comments, Bill Mulligan brings up a really interesting point saying, and they're not on the nominee list, the Go-Go's, The only all-female group to play their own instruments and write most of their songs to make it to number one on the album charts. Now, if you look at the inductees, there's not really a female group that writes their own songs, plays their own instruments, an all-female group. You do have the Supremes, the Shirelles, some singing groups in there, and you have Heart, but
yeah.
You know, they're two main members, and they did write most of their songs. But, you know, there's not a Bangles or a Runaways or, you know, Fanny or Go-Go's or anybody like that who's in there. That's a really interesting point. You know, nominee-wise, anyway. I mean, well, at least women, get a nod for a nominee.
Yeah, women in the hall has been a weak spot for it is the institution,
when
period.
When you and look at it, yeah.
I think the Go-Go's are going to be up there. I think in the next year or two, they definitely are deserving.
Totally.
And that's what I was going with from this current list of nominees. I was really thinking of, like, influence-wise. When I think of T-Rex, I think, my God. I think a gigantic influence on rock music, right?
Mark Bolan is such an influential figure. I mean, tremendously in so many bands, and certainly influenced David Bowie in his time directly, and a lot of people, you know, just the Replacements. I mean, you could start naming off
millions of things. I mean, I think Michael Stipe would definitely point back to him.
That's what I was going to say. Mark Bolan and T-Rex, you know, you have the whole glam movement, obviously, of that era, but then I think it even was an influence on punk.
Yep.
And then alternative music for sure. You know, all the you know, 80s college alternative, all that kind of stuff. I think a lot of those guys would point back to T-Rex as a band they listened to. I think we talked, when was it we talked about that they're name checked in like these songs?
Well,
like a Bowie song and a Who song. Mm-hmm. And
without Bolan, there is no glam, you know, pretty much, as Nick Scalera wrote on his comment. Yeah.
I think they're also one of those bands that when you discover them, you kind of like really get into them too, you know?
Yeah, totally.
They're a great band like that. Talk a little bit about Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk had a huge influence on the burgeoning hip-hop scene as well, because a lot of those guys, Dr. Dre and many of those people were really influenced by those beats and that early Trans-Europe Express album. African Bambaataa, Planet Rock, like, wouldn't have been around without Kraftwerk. So I think hugely, hugely influential.
I'm glad you can riff on them, because I mean, I knew their music when they were making singles. You know, I think everybody, well, I don't know, I'm older than you guys, but the Autobahn song was all over the radio when I was younger. But I never really bought their albums. But as I've grown older and you know, studied music and listened to music and heard other artists talk, their name, the band's name, just keeps coming up.
Totally. Daft Punk, LCD Sound System, like, you could go on.
Yeah. The hip-hop thing is really interesting with that. I think a lot of people don't realize that a lot of those Kraftwerk records were used in
samples,
early hip-hop stuff. And then New Wave, I mean, and then into alternative music,
completely.
For sure. Completely.
Yeah.
And then had an influence on film with the Big Lebowski.
Without a doubt. That's right. Yeah.
There was a band called Autobahn, right?
Which was
supposed to be like that. Yeah.
Do you remember Uli? He's a musician. Used to have a group, Autobahn. Look in my LPs. They released one album in the late 70s. Their music is sort of a techno-pop.
So, now, Mike, you're not only a big Pat Benatar fan, but you've met Pat Benatar, right?
Yeah, well, I met her and her husband.
So you could maybe induct her into.
I would love to, man. If they want. I'm available. I will make myself available for that if they need someone. You know, I bought a lot of Pat Benatar albums when I was younger. I used to DJ dances when I was in high school. So I bought music I like, but I bought music everybody liked. Because, you know, if people don't dance, you don't do your job, and you don't get to do another dance and get money. But I got to interview her and her husband at South by Southwest on stage, and that was fun. And then when they came to play at Wolf Trap, I went backstage and took her some flowers and took a few friends And she's gracious. He's a great guy. She's certainly deserving. I know some folks think they are not, but I really hope she gets in this time around.
So. Yeah.
And Mike, I remember that really engaging interview you conducted with them at South by Southwest. That
were
was
you the hungover guy in the front,
that's
front
right.
row, I
taking
think?
Taking notes, yeah.
I was the hungover guy on stage.
On stage, yeah. We got hungover together.
That was fun. I mean, I hope she makes it. I think before we got on the air, we were talking, I don't really have a vested interest in who gets in. I think they're all deserving. And, you know, they could just let them all in. I'm not sure why they nominate these. Maybe it's just and then only put in like half of them and let fans vote to the fans voting aspect. I don't know if you all know is they let you vote for like five or six of the or they let you vote for the nominees, and the one that wins counts as one ballot in the 1,000 or so ballots.
Oh, I see.
So I think Dave Matthews is going to get that ballot though. Pat, people were trying to get Pat up there to get close to him. I think they could all go in. The other band that I spend the most time with, probably, that I would probably want to get in would be Soundgarden, because I've listened to them more than any of the, well, and Dave Matthews Band. I got to do a story on Dave Matthews Band, and I listened to their music, but I've kind of lost them the last few years. Mm-hmm. I haven't followed their new releases and things, but those bands I've spent a lot of time listening to.
Yeah, and I think, Brad, you made a good point about Dave Matthews Band. There was kind of a moment there where it was kind of a social movement for Dave Matthews, where it was just like a massive amounts of people going to see him at these big stadium shows, and it was real a cultural thing for a certain age group, I think, and demographic.
Yeah, whether or not he influenced other musicians is a thing to explore, but he definitely influenced sort of the zeitgeist, you know?
Without a doubt.
For sure.
That's a really good point.
What does Shadow think? We have Shadow the dog here. Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah.
He wants Bow Wow Wow.
Yeah, the family dog. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Got a one-track mind, Shadow.
Let me just run through some of the listener comments we got on social media, and you guys can weigh in on those, okay? So we had some people who just gave sort of a yes or no on the different nominees, but I want to get some of the more comments here. Bill Mulligan said, another person who deserves to be in the hall is Nick Lowe. As a producer, performer, and songsmith, he has been one of the more influential people in popular music over the last 40 years, and he's still a stone cold fox. Oh, that was a comment. Sorry, I'm reading these out of order. He had made the fox comment first about Pat Benatar. And
Well, he's a silver fox.
Jane Wheedland of
Jane with the Go-Go's. Yep, that
the
was
Go-Go's,
it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Did you read the Randall Brown one here already? He says all these folks are worthy. They should all add all nominees every year because why not?
Totally.
He says
I vote for that.
Yes.
Yep.
We have Liz Kelly Nelson says, how are the MC5 and T-Rex not in already?
Yep.
Shakes head, kicks out jams. Okay, so Shane Ryan says, I am sure an excellent case can be made for any of these. Then Shane says parenthetically, except Dave Matthews Band. but then he says, but I really want to know why these artists still haven't been inducted. And then he lists B-52s, Big Star, Replacements, Warren Zevon, Link Ray.
Interesting.
Dick Dale, the Go-Go's, Jethro Freakin' Tull, and the Pixies.
So, sound of flute.
Anybody on there catch your eye? I'm going to take care of the dog for a second here.
Well, Warren Zevon is right there, like Mike mentioned. I think that's a big one. Now, when we're talking about influence, I mean, totally Link Wray and Dick Dale, right, are guys that
for sure.
It totally influenced the way the guitar sounded. Big Star. I mean, what do you say about Big Star?
Exactly.
You know, what do you say? Probably the, and they're the Go-Go's on the list too. And B-52 is really interesting. I don't know. They seem very worthy to me.
Yep.
But looking at our listener comments, it definitely looks like there's a consensus on MC5, Motorhead, and T-Rex from our listeners.
Yeah,
and
yes.
I think us around the table as well.
Not surprising.
So, yeah. Although Ange was going for Whitney Houston. He's the only one we've seen who's ready to have Whitney Houston, in there. Although Bubba said maybe.
Well, I don't and have then, a problem with her being in there. I mean, I'm not sure her music is rock, but I mean, if you go down the 200-plus inductees at this point, they're not all rock.
I don't worry about that true. Anymore. I mean, it's a broad definition.
Exactly.
And that's fine. You know, you would then, if you said Whitney Houston doesn't belong, then you'd have to go back and say, well, do the Supremes belong, right?
So, totally. The Staple Singers, you know,
right.
Something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't worry about that so much. Kevin Bartlett says, Fish should go in before DMB.
Oh.
Besides having better musicians, they were very early adopters in using the internet to connect with fans and get tickets and make shows available. Plus, they didn't empty their tour bus waste over the Chicago River.
I remember that story.
True.
They argue they're obviously more influential than the Dave Matthews Band has been, I think, to
totally
other musicians.
Agree.
I mean, that's definitely an argument for them.
I would agree with the statement that they should go in before the Dave Matthews Band. I'd stand behind that statement. Absolutely.
Hard no.
Right. Whether or not either of them need to be in.
I kid.
You know.
You'd have to extend the induction show by another couple of hours.
Yeah,
I think,
you might
with that one.
Yeah. That's right.
They could do the after party.
You get to do three songs. Every band gets to do three songs. Oh, right.
Cool.
So, yeah. Okay. This one now. Come on. BJ Bonin says, cleverly, stop me if you've heard this one before, but the Smiths are conspicuously absent.
Ah.
Are the Smiths not in?
They are not.
They are not in.
No, they are not.
Wow.
Okay. Let's just shut this whole thing down now.
Let's unplug it. That's really, really interesting.
And set aside however you feel about Morrissey today. I don't care about that. Let's just talk the Smiths. I mean, you're talking about influence. Come on, right?
Absolutely. Now, you can be in, like the Sex Pistols. I'm reading here off the Source of All Human Knowledge, Wikipedia. The Sex Pistols, who were inducted in 2006, refused to attend the ceremony. John Lydon writing a note read out by Jan Wenner calling the museum a piss stain.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's great. I mean,
I think
that's
they
what
have
you would
that,
expect.
I think they have that on display at the museum.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
That's great.
I mean, that's what's great about it is that, you know, sometimes you get these artists that get really... have a attitude. A few years ago, Steve Miller ranted during his speech. You know, and
I remember
and,
that.
And basically, you know, said they wanted money for tables and money for this and that. But of course, he showed up and did his thing.
Yeah,
and took some money.
Well, didn't Tom York? Wasn't they? What was the deal with Radiohead? They were like not. They were not going to show up, and then they did show up. I don't know.
That's a good question. I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. I knew they got in last year, and I forget what the situation was.
I forget too.
And you know, there's also one thing that's been interesting about this whole process, and A Kiss is the example here. When a band who's had a numerous amount of lineups and shifting personnel gets inducted, it's which version of this band is inducted. Like, who can come to the ceremony and like. You know, Kiss only wanted...
Well, and the Hall of Fame wanted Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley.
The original four.
And Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons did not want... Unfortunately, I do know this stuff. Well, but then more recently, when Metallica was inducted, Robert Trujillo was part of the band and inducted. And I forget what other...
Another one
of the bassists was in there, too. So Cliff Burton and Jason Newsted Robert Trujillo all were.
Let me read through a few more listener suggestions for people not nominated. Kurt Gallagher suggests Los Lobos, Little Feat, Devo, and Rockpile.
I see Devo on a lot of that should be in list.
That's an interesting omission. Who's the other Ange? Who's that?
That is Andy Dubuque.
Yeah.
From the Winked Up Slode. Yeah, we call him the Ange.
He says Richard Thompson, the Water Boys, and Lone Justice, of course. Why of course?
Well, I like all those.
Well, that's a long story.
Okay. And then...
he's the Ange. That's just all you need to know.
That's all you need.
And then Scott Park says, seriously, Richard Thompson. He's not the household name as these others, but he's made consistently amazing music for decades. More than can be said for most of this list.
Yep, sure.
So
that
was a popular pick. And then he also asked, how did John Prine not make it last year? And then some people mentioned Replacements, and somebody mentioned Crocus.
Well, Crocus. Yeah. I'm going to definitely say the odds are probably pretty long on Crocus getting in. What about Kansas, Mike?
You know, I was thinking I should have done some homework on this because they're a band that I obviously grew up listening to and still listen to. In fact, I heard Dust in the Wind on
Carry
Sex
on
My
Way
Here. I mean, those are songs that are, those two songs are, you know, part of, you know, music history. As what's going to happen here as the years go on, we have fewer and fewer rock bands and artists. And you're going to see more bands get in. And I certainly think that Kansas is deserving, you know, for those two albums alone, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about prog rock or whatever you want to call the music that Kansas was, how influential they were. They were influenced by bands like Yes, I would guess, and early Genesis. But they certainly allowed bands in the Midwest to stretch their legs a little bit on the music they played from what they did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally agree. And at a time, they were ubiquitous on classic rock, AOR radio. I mean, really, really, I think everybody knows a lot of their music, you know. And, man, there's four or five albums they have that are pretty great.
Let me run through Kevin Clement went through the current nominees, I thought, pretty well. So okay. Let me just run through his list. He says, here's who I would put in. Depeche Mode, amazing body of work and incredibly influential. We didn't even talk about Depeche Mode, right? But
they're on the list.
Very good case there.
Great case. Yeah.
Then he's number two, he has Judas Priest, Rock Gods. Number three, Kraftwerk, innovators in their genre and laid the groundwork for many bands that followed. MC5, again, rock legends. Their reputation as a live band is legendary. Motorhead, Lemmy is an almost mythic creature.
Yeah, man.
He is indeed.
They should get in on that alone. Rufus and Chaka Khan, wonderful body of work, trailblazers in their genre, right? Tom Rundgren, enough said. T-Rex, I put them in the same category as MC5. Thin Lizzy, just like Lemmy, Phil is pretty much a mythic character and deserves to get in on that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I know that is too many, so they could be spread over 2 years. So those are the ones he wouldn't pick.
Well, this is an interesting thing here. As I'm digging a little deeper, they have something called the Award for Musical Excellence. Honors those musicians, producers, and others who have spent their careers out of the spotlight, working with major artists on various parts of their recording and live careers. You have Tom Dowd, Ringo Starr, strange. Nile Rodgers, Glyn Johns is a producer, Leon Russell as well. And they also are inducting singles now. In 2019, they put in Maybe, Tequila, Money, Twist and Shout, Leader of the Pack, and Gloria, all by the original artist.
So that makes sense based on the idea that I've seen where you're running out of rock legends to induct. And, you know, the one thing, I think one reason why they did Ringo was he was the only Beatle that hadn't been inducted on his own at that point. And, you know, Ringo still tours, and almost every drummer speaks of Ringo very highly.
Yeah, for sure.
And he also was a kind of a gluing influence, I think, on the band, you know, when they would have their tiffs.
Would you like to go see the induction ceremony?
You know, I always wanted to go. I don't know that I'd want to go this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to gone last year. The year, let's see, that, well, obviously the year Led Zeppelin was put in would have been great.
Right.
And there was, well, when U2 was inducted, Springsteen played with, he inducted them and played with them. That would have been great.
Yep.
I never got a chance to do it when I was covering when I was working at USA Today and dabbling more in music than I do now. But I would have loved to gone. Though I still think I would have rather have gone to the Led Zeppelin reunion in London. than that.
But right.
I think anybody who likes music would love to go to something like this. You're going to get to, though I bet it's a long, drawn-out thing if you're sitting at one of those tables or sitting up in the chair, you know. But,
although I'm sure celebrity spotting around there's got to be a lot of fun, too, to see who's there and just kind of checking out the scene or is part of it. So
yep. I do record this when it comes on HBO and try to watch it. Yep. So
I just want to read just a couple more listener comments here that I thought were pretty interesting. Gerald Jasinski, he is one who advocates for Depeche Mode, and he says, Depeche Mode started as an electronic band and morphed into so much more. Violator is one of the greatest albums ever, and they are still putting out decent to good music today and filling arenas. Then he goes on to people missing from the list, and he advocates, says, first and foremost to me, Beck.
Yeah, Beck is mentioned a lot, and he became eligible, I think, a year or so ago.
Yeah, he says here he's taken indie, mixed it with some rap and pop with killer lyrics for over 25 years. He won a Grammy this past decade for Album of the Year Morning Phase and followed that up with an amazing album, Colors, so on and so forth. And then he says, Duran Duran.
Duran Duran.
He says, if you don't, let's see, lastly, Duran Duran.
Great bass playing.
Yeah.
No doubt.
He says they were back on the charts in 2017 with the Paper Gods LP working with Nile Rodgers and Janelle Monáe. They are underrated as a band. John Taylor is one of the greatest bass players in rock history. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was interesting. I was going to mention Duran Duran when we were talking about Mark Bolan and T-Rex. I forget who all played in the Power Station, but they did a cover of Aang a Gong. Well, so there's obviously a nod to that there, too.
I remember, you know, having lived through sort of when Duran Duran hit the scene, and I remember there being sort of a backlash at the time. They seemed like, seemed kind of like lightweight, right, for the guys, you know, who were into rock music, you know, or listened to AC/DC or whatever. It was like, what is this? And they had more of a female appeal at the time. But over time, I've really come to appreciate them more. If you listen to a lot of like indie rock today, I think you can hear a lot of Duran Duran in that kind of stuff. Yeah. True.
Speaking of that female appeal, I went to see Seven and the Ragged Tiger tour. And it was the closest thing I think I'll ever feel to Beatlemania, because there were so many screaming girls in there. I'm like, I'm in the wrong place. You know, what's going on? I'm not going to buy a shirt. Can't advertise this. But you know, when you go back and listen to some of those songs, they're really well created. They have a lot of, you know, they can have a lot of sonic depth to them. And obviously, he's a great singer. They have great musicianship. So I could see that coming.
You know, and I know the Clash and the Sex Pistols are in, but there's some other punk bands that probably deserve to be in there or not. They're pretty light on punk. I mean, Nirvana's not a punk band, in my opinion. And the Stooges are proto-punk and the Velvet Underground as well, but there's really not a lot. I mean, there's no, you know, Black Flag and Minor Threat and just some of those English punk bands that probably could be in there too. So certainly Wire would be my personal Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for one example.
Minutemen. Yes.
Minutemen, yes. Certainly. Should Mike Watcher be in there?
I mean, Husker Du, come on.
You know, Husker Du.
I mean, that one I definitely...
Replacements.
That's one I would say
seriously.
You should have Husker Du in before you have Nirvana.
Yeah, totally, man.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Sonic Youth.
And then the proto-punk thing, I don't think New York Dolls are in.
They are not.
Oh, wow, that's a... huge.
Something listeners may get a kick out of if they haven't found this. There's the website Vulture, which is run by the New York Magazine company. There's a writer there named Bill Wyman, not the Bill Wyman you're thinking of, and he listed all the inductees up to now, ranked them, and so that's kind of fun. So if you look that up, but he also said who's missing, and in addition to the folks that we've been mentioning so far, he mentioned Lonnie Donegan, the Shangri-Las, Casey and the Sunshine Band, Mata Hoople, Jonathan Richman, Willie Nelson, New York Dolls, X, George Michael, The Jam, and Graham Parker.
The Jam, yeah.
Ah, yeah.
I think he's on to something there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to say, I'm not sure how you can have a something called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and not have X.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that right there.
Yep. We got to agree with you.
Yeah. Okay, have we covered this enough, do we think?
I think so.
Rambling.
So. We got all the listeners, you know, sending some really great stuff. So we got all them.
I think so.
I mean, I'm not sure we didn't get them all, but they did.
We got a lot.
But it's a fun topic, and I'll look forward to seeing who makes it and watching the show and all that.
Well, do you got any predictions, Mike? Who do you think will get in? If give us four of this list that you think definitely will get in this year?
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit.
Let's go around and do it. Okay, we can round up that one.
All right, so I'm not going to mention the three we think deserve to get in for sure on influence. I think they're going to put in I think Dave Matthews Band's going to get in. And I think Rufus is going to get in.
That'd be cool.
Because I think they were up last year.
I think you're right.
Okay.
Out of Depeche Mode, Nine Inch Nails, and Soundgarden, I think Depeche Mode might get in.
Oh, interesting.
However, they're, you know, since Soundgarden might get
there's a sentimental aspect there with Chris Cornell. Yeah,
yeah, so, totally. That's very true. Yeah.
So with three of those and the three we mentioned that we thought get in on influence, that's six. That's a full show.
Yeah,
almost.
That's probably, you're probably going to hit 80% of those, I would think. Yeah, that's a good way.
What do you guys think?
I don't know.
Listening to you, I definitely think Soundgarden will get in. I do have a feeling that Motorhead's going to get in this year. I really do. I think Motorhead will get in. I'm going to say I think Rufus will probably get in too. And I don't know who else. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Doobie Brothers got in. I really would.
I wouldn't. Because
like you were saying, they're still active. They're around. And there'd be a band lots of people could jam with. And I think they might get in.
Yeah. And I think they like to check those boxes, right? Yeah. Like one classic rock, one, you know, that's R&B-ish. Sort of outside of the
mainstream,
the rock and roll thing. Yeah. One that's more influential. You know,
a band that's defunct but respected, like Motorhead. They always kind of put one of those in. Yeah. What do you think, Braddy? Any prognostications here?
No idea, really, but I'm going to go with Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy?
As my number one.
Okay. Love to see it.
Let's go Rufus, number two, Motorhead, and Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk, okay,
yeah,
cool.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be really, really good.
All right, cool. Good conversation. Cool. Now, here's my next question. So, actually, I have two last things here. One is maybe we should create our own. Like rock and roll Hall of Fame on the podcast,
that'd
right?
Cool.
And we can induct people.
Our Hall
you know,
of Fame,
right?
Yes. Okay.
You better buy some boxing gloves and headgear.
So that's one thing we could do.
Yeah.
We could, you know, and then we could give tours of the basement, that kind of stuff. And then the other thing, what about the podcasting Hall of Fame? Where do we stand on that? Like, are we first ballot?
Well, I think you have to wait 25 years.
Oh, is that how it goes?
After you start performing.
I don't think any podcaster has ever done that.
I don't think so, yeah. So we're going to do that in when we get a touch of gray down the road.
That's right. well, what would they get? Would this be physically somewhere or
in someone's basement?
Okay,
right? Yeah, basement.
In Grand Rapids,
you get a golden microphone.
Grand Rapids,
it should be in Grand Rapids somewhere.
Totally. Yeah.
Does Scott Parks have room down there?
You know, we have to get credit for the mixtape alone. Like,
oh,
does any other podcast do that? Give people mixtapes?
If they do, I'm not aware of it.
Right. I think we're we go above and beyond. We should be honored.
Yep.
For that.
Totally. Totally. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Here we go. Sorry.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me. It was fun talking. Good discussion. Glad we got this out of my brain.
All right. Okay. So, like I mentioned, anybody else wants to pick the topic on future shows, go to patreon.com/suburbspod.
And that's
check
cool.
That out.
And you also get, at that level, you also get a couple other benefits that are included in that package.
You get a sticker.
You get a sticker.
Yeah.
Yep. And you get access to exclusive early postings of shows and some videos and things like that. And
we're going to rethink some of that, too. I think we're going to have
a keychain.
A better plan.
Right.
Well,
what level did I get to get this great keychain?
That was a Christmas gift to patrons.
Okay.
But as Jim said, we're working on a merch strategy to kind of up our merch game a little bit. People really like those bottle openers and some other things.
Yeah. I don't ever use it
for
anything.
I
just use it to put my keys on.
And I think Brad has volunteered to write an original song each week and record it and upload it for the patrons.
Yeah,
if you wouldn't mind.
Every week,
if you wouldn't mind.
All right, let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Brad Naylor.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, guys.
To put in it.
Yeah, he either did later, no, maybe, or yes.
Yes is already in there. You knew that was coming, right?